Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
A texter just sent to the Hub City Spartanburger text line, 844-326-3663. It's gotten so bad, Clemson fans and Gamecock fans don't even feel like making fun of each other. Good text, Spike. Good text. Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo, and you be a part of the radio program by calling or dialing or texting or whatever. That number that I just gave to you, 844-326-3663. We have talked quite a bit of South Carolina ball. We have talked quite a bit of Clemson ball so far this morning.
By the way, welcome back to the Wayback Machine, because this is how it used to be when I first moved here, which was nearly 30 years ago. This is how it was. Every season, it was like this.
It's rough, dude. It's rough out here in the streets. We're going to talk more college ball later on in the show. I actually do want to get to one thought that I had over the weekend. Last week, Kurt Cignetti got paid mucho dinero. And $96 million 8 years? $96 million. To coach at Indiana. That's not Ohio State money. That's not Georgia money. Yeah, man. Kurt Cignetti. Oh, we got to talk about Mike, too. So, Kurt Cignetti gets paid mucho dinero at Indiana. Over the weekend, we had a few other things take place. Billy Napier got fired from the University of Florida, 23-22 over 4 years.
Can you explain that? I mean, I get the overall record is not good, but it just won.
Yeah. This decision,
so how do you get fired after you just won the game?
This decision was made last week. This was going to be regardless of win or lose.
Is it one of those, man, this sucks. He actually won. What do we do? Let's just go ahead and do it anyway.
They were going through it anyway. Let me tell you why. It had nothing to do with the game. I'll tell you when I knew this was happening. Florida beats Mississippi State. Mississippi State's not good. It's not a good team. Florida beats Mississippi State. Nothing else has happened good for Florida this year except the win over Texas. Billy Napier's leaving the football field in Gainesville. It's a home game, by the way. Leaving the football field in Gainesville, Florida. And as he's leaving the field, Zoe, a field that they just won a game on, about 80,000 Florida fans, boo! hitting him with the Boo Birds on the way off the field after a dub, this decision was well in hand. Billy Napier, 22-23. In Southeastern Conference play, 12-16. Against ranked opponents, 5-17. Against ranked opponents on the road, 0-14. Against Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Miami, and Tennessee, 3-12. That's their rivals, their primary and secondary. Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Miami, and Tennessee, 3-12 against those schools. The fewest wins by a Florida coach in those rivalry games dating back to 1930. I don't even think some of those schools existed in 1930. Billy Napier is also the first full-time coach at Florida to finish his tenure with a losing record since Raymond Wolfe, a name that literally none of you know, who coached there in 1946-49. You may very well recall that in the 1940s, America was a little busy. We had some stuff going on. We were playing a pretty big away game.
We may recall from history.
Yeah.
But not recall. Is there anyone out there that old?
Playing
right now?
A big away game in the 1940s. So they were, you know, some schools get some passes there is all I'm saying. Anyway, Billy Napier moves on. Billy Napier is only owed a buyout of $22 million. Billy Napier is going to get $11 million this month. And then he will get the remaining $11 million in three annual payments over the next 3 years. James Franklin was fired last weekend by Penn State. James Franklin is owed a buyout of $49 million, which he will be paid in monthly installments from now until the end, until the same time in 2031. Mike Norvell, I am not going to say is going to be fired today. I am going to say that the Florida State Athletic Department is apparently having a press conference today right after we go off the air down in Tallahassee, Florida. If Mike Norvell was to be fired by the Florida State University, Mike Norvell would be owed $56 million, which is more than James Franklin was owed by Penn State. I got a lot of questions about how head coach financials are going to be working out moving forward. I got a lot of questions about how head coaching financials are going to work out. Because when you look at a Mike Norvell, Mike Norvell was a budget hire for Florida State. They had to budget hire because they had money that they still had to pay to Willie Taggart, who they fired appropriately so. Still had money on the table to Willie Taggart. A lot of money on the table to Willie Taggart, which meant that they had to budget hire. Willie Taggart was a budget hire. After Willie Taggart, Mike Norvell was a budget hire. Had to budget because they had so much money being paid out that they couldn't really go get a contract that they would have paid to the a proven established head coach. So I put the buyout conversation over here. And then over here, at the end of last week, Indiana paid Kurt Cignetti $96 million for an 8-year deal. I don't know what the buyout is on that contract yet. I don't think they've announced it yet. I don't know what the buyout is yet. I assume it's not going to be cheap. So, my question mark about moving forward is, are we going to see a point, whether it is now, whether it's this offseason, because what do we have? We have Virginia Tech that is open. We have Florida that is open. We have Penn State that is open. I'm going to keep it a buck. I suspect Florida State is going to be open. Is it possible now that LSU is open? Brian Kelly loses on the road at Vanderbilt. The LSU fans, no matter how bad they are, LSU fans are ready to be done with Brian Kelly. LSU could be open, right? Like there's a good fistful of blue blood institutions that will be looking for new head coaches this offseason. How are these contracts going to be structured for head coaches? Because I suspect if James Franklin's buyout which is $46 million after 12 years. If James Franklin's buyout would have been $15, $20 million, I don't think James Franklin would have been would have been fired as late as he was. Now, again, like, it's very interesting because James Franklin played in a college football semifinal last year. Mike Norvell went 2-10 last year. Mike Norvell is on pace to go 3-9 this year. Because to keep it a buck with you, I think Florida State might have at most one more win out there. Like, at most, Florida State has got a win against... I gotta tell you, I don't know if that's true. Like, Wake Forest took Georgia Tech to the line. I don't know that Wake Forest doesn't beat them. Stanford just did. Clemson's going to slam Florida State. Virginia Tech probably beats Florida State. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe that's win number four. NC State. Dave Doran's coaching for his life. I think NC State beats him. Hell, if we get the interim coach boost, Florida might beat Florida State. Mike Norvell, if he was to be fired this year, would get $56 million. I don't know what that, I don't know if that buyout decreases when the year is over, or if there's like a, you know, if there's a, if it rolls over at the quarter. I don't know how that works. What I do know is that if I'm a college athletic director, does your priority moving forward, especially if you are making a speculative hire, you're hiring a Mike Norvell or a Willie Taggart, you're hiring a Kurt Cignetti, you're hiring a Billy Napier, you're hiring some guys that maybe have had success at lower levels, but don't really have a proven track record at the highest level. If you are hiring those guys, aren't you trying to structure your buyouts to be lower moving forward? And if that is the possibility, aren't you structuring that by having to pay more season to season, right? Instead of giving Mike Norvell a contract where he's only making $6 million or $4 million annually, but he's got a $56 million buyout, aren't you kind of flipping that the other way around? Tell you what, coach, we're going to give you $14 million per year, but your buyout's going to be $2 million, right? Now, coaches are going to push back on that. Obviously, you're going to push back on that if you're a coach. You go in there, you have one bad season, the team gets, the program gets trigger happy, they fire you after one bad year. You want as much money coming to you as you can possibly get. But at the same time, basically what you're doing is you're saying, all right, coach, we are going to bank on, we're going to bank on you not being good. And you're going to bank on you being good. Because if you go and you have that Mike Norvell year, cool, we're going to take you from $14 million a year to $17 million a year. But the buyout's going to stay the same. The point is, the coaching financials are very interesting right now. They're interesting with the Franklin story, the Billy Napier story, the Mike Norvell story, if he does get fired. And I am leaning towards, I do think he does. I don't know if it's today or if they let him finish out to the end of the season or whatever date on the calendar exists that drops the buyout down from $56 million. Because again, Florida State, due to their own decision-making process over the past couple of years, is cash-strapped right now. I don't know how it looks. What I do know is I am very, very interested moving forward about what happens next. The other part of this conversation that I find interesting is to look at names like James Franklin, to look at places like South Carolina and Clemson, and then to consider three coaches that are all inside of the top 10 right now. Your AP poll dropped yesterday. It looks this way. Ohio State number one. Indiana at number two. Kurt Cignetti. If I would have told you 2 years ago, not last year, but 2 years ago, if I'd have told you 2 years ago that at some point in the very near future, the Indiana Hoosiers are going to be not just the number two team in America, but a deserving number two team. Deserving. You'd have been like, Rob Brown, I know you keep saying you know ball, brother, but I think maybe you lost the marbles a little bit there. Well, here they are. And then I go down to number seven. And who is sitting there at number seven but the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech? Brent Key. Another guy that when Brent Key got hired, the belief was that Georgia Tech hired Brent Key because they can't do better. They hired Brent Key because he's an alumni. He took a bit of a hometown discount to come back and coach a school that he played at and loves, yada, yada, yada. Turns out Brent Key's a football dude. Remember that preseason when I said, hey, y'all, Georgia Tech's going to be an ACC championship threat this year, and everybody went, come on, Rob. I know you like Brent Key, but, like, come on, dude. Come on. Come on, bro. Come on. Here we are. Brent Key, football dude. And then there's number 10, Clark Lee, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. If I'd have told you 2 years ago, the Vanderbilt Commodores will not just be a top 10 team, but a deserving top 10 team. You'd have said all the same stuff I said you would have said a minute ago about Georgia Tech. Rob Brown, you absolute lunatic. You've lost the plot, my guy. Here we are. So why is that interesting? It's interesting because Kurt Cignetti just got paid $96 million for 8 more years. You think Georgia Tech's going to find a way to dig down deep and come up with a similar contract for Brent Key? I think the answer is yes. They're going to send out an email to all those hell of an engineers that they've got around these great United States of America, and they're going to say, listen, we know that because you're a pocket protector wearing nerd, you don't care about football, but this helps Georgia Tech. So, hey, nerds, who run the world, nerds? Can y'all all send us like a half milli? You can all come off a half milli. You're nerds. Give us $500,000. And they are going to ask all the nerds to send them a big old fat stack paycheck. And the nerds will. And Brent Key is going to get $100 million. And then there's the Vanderbilt Commodores. Not a big fan base, but a successful one. They got all that Nash Vegas money, baby. They're going to reach down into those record companies right there in Nashville, Tennessee. And they're just like, hey, if all you fancy country music artists could all send us about $1 million, I think we'd be all right.
You're more Johnny Bravo than you are Elvis.
About a lot of peanut butter sandwiches there. If y'all all send us about 1% of your royalties, you country music artists. And the Vanderbilt Commodores, they're going to slip Clark Lee a check for about $100 million. That exit devolved real fast. Clark Lee's going to get that money from Vanderbilt. Now, that is not to say that perhaps a James Franklin getting fired at Penn State doesn't open up Penn State to say, we'll give you $150 million for 10 years. Brent Key, Georgia Tech can't do that. They can't do that. But the question mark is going to be, where is the balance, to take us back to the beginning of this conversation, where is the balance between annual salary and buyout? Because you can say, Brent Key, we'll give you $150 million to leave Georgia Tech and go to Penn State. Like, tell me Brent Key doesn't fit the culture of Penn State. Blue collar, working man, we're down there in the coal mines, y'all. We're getting down and dirty. Physical football here at Penn State University. That's Brent Key. So they go, Brent Key, we'll give you $150,000 to come on down and coach at Penn State. Or I guess come up and coach at Penn State. That's how directions work. But that is a lot of money, so what we're going to do is we're only going to give you like a $5 million buyout. $5 million buyout. If you're Brent Key, what do you look at? If Georgia Tech goes, we'll give you $100 million and it's a $50 million buyout, or Penn State goes, we'll give you $125 million, but it's a $5 million buyout. I'm sticking around, right? Georgia Tech shows me they're all in with the money, 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 money. I'm sticking around. So when I put all these things together, I'm at a point now where I am starting to lean towards, I don't think the narrative that the little baby schools can't do it is true anymore. Indiana's the number two team in the country. Georgia Tech's the number seven team in the country. Vanderbilt's the number 10 team in the country. Texas Tech would be probably, I think, the number two team in the country, except they lost only because their starting quarterback was out. South Florida is the number 18 team in the country. Louisville is the 19th team in the country. It won't be common, but the little teams can do it now if you can find the money. And I think the way a lot of these schools are going to find the money is by asking the coaches to bet on themselves. We're not going to give you a $56 million buyout like Florida State gave Mike Norvell, but we will give you $110 million for 5, 6, 7 years. If you succeed, you're going to make more money than anybody else. If you fail, it's on you. And I think at some point the coaches are going to have to find that balance and say yes to that. I'm intrigued, man. This whole thing could be real interesting. But that's, by the way, does that not kind of take the excuses off the table for a team like South Carolina? Because I got to tell you, it feels like it does for me. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
Well, call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE is the number to be a part of the program. Let's get some other stuff. We talked a lot of Clemson, a lot of South Carolina this AM. Let's talk some of the other college football from around these great United States of ours. Ohio State, still the number one team in the country, and the conversation, I did see it pick up quite a bit after the weekend, as it reasonably should have. 34-0, they blank Wisconsin. Second shutout this team has pitched this year. Here's the point totals the Ohio State Buckeye defense has given up so far. They give up 7 to Texas, 0 to Grambling, 9 to Ohio, 6 on the road at Washington, 3 to Minnesota, 16 to number 17 to Illinois on the road, and they pitch a shutout against Wisconsin. Julian Sain is getting better by the week. At this point, I do not yet think he is a Heisman frontrunner, but I think he is playing his way there. 36 of 42, 393 yards, 4 touchdowns in this game. So let me ask you a question about this, because I saw bits and pieces. After a 17-0 first quarter, I was like, this game can be relegated. Did Julian Sain throw it 42 times? because the run game didn't really get going for Ohio State? Or did the run game not get going for Ohio State because Julian Sain threw it 42 times?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my answer, yes. I know it's not the elaborate.
Well, I just feel like one of those has to be more true than the other.
Does it, though?
Yeah.
I mean,
either you didn't run because Sain was kicking ass, or Sain was kicking ass, so you didn't
run.
The
running game is the biggest thing lacking for Ohio State. The one thing that they definitely are not as good at as they have been the last couple of years is the running game.
I would 1,000% agree. If Ohio State doesn't win the championship this year, that would be the reason why. Can't run the football. But
well, another team will have to score on them in order to beat them.
That is also true. That is also very true. Maybe it doesn't matter. We don't have to score 21 if you can't score 10. That might be fair. So this team might be better than last year, and it is because of this defense. They held Wisconsin to 54 passing yards, 95 rushing yards, and Ohio State, or excuse me, Wisconsin had to break out a little trickeration every now and then to get there. This Buckeye team's good,
and they're getting better.
I agree.
They are not not peak yet. So,
Indiana, number two team in the country, 6 first place votes come their way. Only team that's not Ohio State that got a first place vote. They got 6 of them. So far, they have played 2 ranked teams: Illinois, who they beat 63-10; Oregon, who they beat 30-20 on the road in Austin. Who's left for this team? I will say, a suddenly very interesting UCLA team. The Bruins are kind of fun now, like in a weird way. They've run 3 in a row since they moved on from Deshaun Foster. UCLA got the win over Maryland this weekend, 20-17. It's still not a good team. It's just a team that kind of feels interesting now. Indiana, Maryland, Penn State, and oh, by the way, in case you weren't keeping track, in case it didn't make its way on your phone screen this weekend, the now 3-4 Nittany Lions dropped their 4th consecutive game, this time on the road at Iowa. The Hawkeyes. Penn State's lost 4 in a row. That's not a dangerous team.
Did you expect them to win? I mean, after losing. I mean, I kind of
think, like, you know, you thought maybe the interim HC bump. You know,
I thought it would be the opposite, and that's what it is.
They've got UCLA, Maryland, Penn State, Wisconsin, and Purdue. Yo, Indiana's not losing another game.
Yeah,
this team's going 12-0.
It's pretty easy. That's probably one of the easier schedules in the country.
The Big Ten Championship is 12-0 Ohio State versus 12-0 Indiana at this point.
That'd be kind of cool.
I think so.
Yeah.
Both teams going to the playoffs. The question is which one of those is going to get a bye and which one's going to be ranked 7 and have to go on the road. Texas A&M at number 3, Alabama 4, Georgia 5. 3 consecutive SEC teams wrap up the top 5. Does anybody doubt me now that this Alabama team's a pretty good football team? Because this Alabama team's a pretty good football team. They hammer Tennessee 37-20.
Still not buying it yet.
How do you not buy it? They have won 6 games in a row, and the last 4 have been against number 5, number 16, number 14, and number 11. Give me anybody else who's run 4 ranked victories off in a row.
I'll believe it when they win the SEC championship.
Oh, the goalpost shifted a little bit. Goalpost pushing back in the distance a little bit. 4 consecutive ranked wins.
When you make the rules, you can change them.
Who the hell said you make the rules? I didn't get that executive order signed off on it.
It says executive on my door. I just want to, you know.
Here's what's left for Alabama. At South Carolina, Gamecock fans, I've said this 0 times. If you were here in the upstate and you've got tickets to this game, I would advise you not to go. Save your Saturday. Sell your tickets for whatever you can get for them. Hang out, watch it at the house, get yourself a nice steak or something. I would not go to Columbia, South Carolina this weekend. Then they've got number 20 LSU. They're going to beat them. Then they've got number 13 Oklahoma. I think they're going to beat them. Then they've got Eastern Illinois. Then they've got Auburn. And I'm a little shocked by Auburn because on one hand, I really don't think this is a bad football team. I don't think Jackson Arnold's the guy they hoped he would be, but I don't think it's a bad football team. On the flip side, they just lost again. And they've gotten screwed in 2 of these games, but they've also outright lost 2 of these games. But Alabama's not losing another game. They're going 11-1. Georgia is kind of an interesting team to me after this weekend. Georgia gets done with Ole Miss, 43-35, in a game that wasn't particularly that close. They got Florida, who just fired Billy Napier. Mississippi State, who just lost to Florida, who's about to fire Billy Napier. Texas, Charlotte, and Georgia Tech. There's only one possible loss for Georgia left down the road, and that is Georgia Tech at the end of the year. Don't tell me they can't do it, because Georgia Tech is better this year than they were last year, and Georgia's probably about the same as they were last year. That's a game that went to 8 overtimes last year. Georgia Tech could beat Georgia. Ole Miss goes down to number 8 at 6-1. I said on Friday, I don't think Ole Miss is fraudulent, but I don't think that they are a top 5 team in the country. I don't think they're a top 10 team. I think they're like 11-12, somewhere in that range. Ole Miss is on the road at Oklahoma. I could see Ole Miss losing to Oklahoma this weekend. Their offense is what South Carolina's offense should be. Ole Miss's is. But Oklahoma just showed you that they've got the talent and they've got the blueprint. So I think Ole Miss might drop another one this weekend. We got a few days till Friday when we go on the record. But I think they could drop that. And then you got Miami and Vanderbilt. I kept wondering when we were going to get the inevitable Mario Cristobaling. Well, we got it. Carson Beck throws 4 picks in this game. And I want to be abundantly clear. I do put it on Carson Beck. A lot of Georgia fans online this weekend were like, there's the Carson Beck that we weren't upset about losing to Miami this offseason. And the reason why was the take of the Georgia fan was Carson Beck always chokes when it is clutch time. Like, he always chokes when it's clutch time. This game, to me, kind of felt like it was Miami's last chance to lose. Like, it was the high-pressure situation. Because after Louisville, Stanford, SMU, that one's on the road. Maybe it feels a little different now. Syracuse, NC State, Virginia Tech, and at Pitt. Like, there wasn't another game that this team would lose. So, with that being said, I'm shocked by this, but not that shocked. Because the reason, in my opinion, that Miami lost to Louisville was not just that Carson Beck was not good in a game they needed him to be good. The reason is why Carson Beck was not good. And the reason to me was Miami came out and they tried to bog this game down. Which, again, I said, like, if you're playing Miller-Moss in Louisville, that's how you win that game. You bog that game down. You slow that game down. You keep Miller-Moss on the sidelines. Well, they came into this game trying to bog this game down, trying to slow it down. And once you got into the second quarter, trailing by a tutty, you were down 4 at the half. Louisville comes out, finds a field goal in the third. Close game. Miami, at that point, had slowed the game down so much that they couldn't find the accelerator again. They couldn't find the throttle up. And so they got Carson Beck out there pressing with an offense that was not in a rhythm and routine at that point. It cost them the ball game. Welcome to the annual Mario Cristobaling. Vanderbilt's good. 6-1 and number 10. When we come back, John Blau of the Post and Courier covers the Clemson Tigers. We'll find out exactly what the hell went wrong this past weekend for the Clemson Tigers. That's next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. Joining us now on the radio program, as he is kind enough to do every Monday at 8:40 a.m., he covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier. John Blau joins us here on the show. John, Clemson falls 35-24 to the SMU Mustangs. No Cade Klubnik because of that ankle injury. I don't think Christopher Vezina was bad, 29-42, 317, and three touchdowns. So what went wrong? Inability to run the football? Was it defense, which I do think was disappointing? What's the response, man? Because this was not what we expected.
Yeah, I think you brought up the run game. I mean, to only have 35 yards and 30 carries, when you have a backup quarterback in there, you need to support him better than that. You couldn't get a yard with Adam Randall on a key down. You couldn't get Peter Woods to get a yard on a 4th-and-1. Just those things were disappointing. Obviously, I wouldn't say Christopher Vezina was the reason they lost, but I do think the offense was a little slow out of the gate, even in the passing game as well. This is the second-to-worst pass defense in the NCAA. It just felt like it took him a little bit of time to get settled in, but he eventually did, and then defensively, I mean, you look at the first half. I mean, they, other than one really bad coverage bust, they give up that 70-yard touchdown, three field goals they give up in the first half. So the defense didn't play terrible. It just felt like towards the end of the game, they, I don't know if they lost steam, got tired, or just lost focus, discipline. SMU seemed to get outside of them a bunch, get on the perimeter, pick up some big gains, and yeah, it's just too steep of a hill to climb there for Christopher Vezina, even though, again, they did chop it to 5 points with 6 minutes left in the game. So, just obviously, like you said, disappointing. This is supposed to be a really good Clemson team. It continues to go in directions that nobody really expected at the beginning of the year, but this is where they are.
I know it's frustrating. I know Clemson fans are asking a lot of questions about it, and I do want to get back to the X's and O's, but we played a clip from Dabo's press conference, and I said, John Blau, I think it was the first time, despite everything that's happened this year, some of the other disappointments over the past 2-3 years, it sounded like the first time that Dabo sounded down about it, right? Like, I know he was, I promise you we're going to win more championships, and, you know, I'm working harder than I've ever worked before, but to me, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, maybe I'm making a big deal out of nothing, John, but it really felt to me like it was the first time that it felt like Dabo is being impacted in a really negative way by what he saw on the football field.
Yeah, I would say Syracuse is worse. I mean, I know that feels like eons ago because just how long the season's been. But, yeah, that Syracuse game, he felt like he was completely beaten down. It just really stunned, like I think everybody else was. SMU, yeah, I mean, I think he, you know, I don't want to use the word resigned because I don't think he's resigned to it. But I think everybody's kind of aware where this season is. It just kind of is what it is at this point. I know, again, I remember going into the Syracuse game, he's talking about, everybody thinks we're going to lay an egg and stuff, but I don't think so. And I mean, at this point, the egg's almost been laid. And so I just think, it kind of is what it is. There's only so much he could say. And again, referring to the one quote where he's talking about, I think he was responding to a question about what would he say to the fan base. And it's not much I can say is what he said, but we are going to, again, we're going to win more championships. And so he brings that optimism back in. But I think, as far as the overall tone, I think he even said it himself. It is what it is. And they are where they are. And they kind of, there's only so much he can say as far as what's happened so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of part of this conversation, John Blau, is there's a lot of complaints. It is the inability to get the run game going. It is the defensive front seven, which, we were led to believe this thing's going to be full of NFL draft picks that are just not playing like that. So when Dabo says nobody's working harder, has he given us any indication about what is happening? Are there conversations about coaching changes? Are there conversations about schematic changes, tactical changes? Has there been any indication about what is going to happen moving forward? Is that being kept closer to the vest?
Yeah, I mean, I think we asked those questions a couple weeks ago. It's just in terms of whether he considers staff changes. I don't think he's somebody who wants to do that in the middle of the season. I think he even put it as you have your staff and you have things figured out and the chips fall where they may. That kind of is where it is. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put that out of the question at the end of the year or towards the end of the year that you have some kind of mix up, shakeups there. But I don't think it's going to happen now. I'd be surprised if it did. As far as, I'm sure when he's talking about working hard, they're adjusting things. They're looking at personnel. They're tweaking things as far as game planning and even mentioned after the SMU game, some things play calling wise he didn't quite like in terms of helping Bazina. So I'm sure there's things that, notes he's going to have for Garrett Riley in terms of what he wants to do there. And defensively, obviously, he's got to work with Tom Allen and that staff to get things, moving in a better direction. It feels like at times it has been. But like you're saying, I don't think the front seven has been dominant like everybody thought it could be. The secondary is probably the bigger problem. I mean, there's just a bunch of busts and just people, not sticking to their responsibilities in situations that are really putting Clemson in a tough spot. So, I'm sure there's behind the scenes, there's a lot of conversation. There's a lot of, tweaks as far as, game plan and personnel and things like that. But as far as bigger staff changes, structural changes, I think a lot of those things have to happen in the offseason.
John Blau from the Post and Courier joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. We were talking a little bit earlier, John, that Garrett Riley is obviously is under a lot of fire from Clemson fans. You and I have had the conversation in the past about the paraphrasing, but comments from Dabo that Garrett's here to run the Clemson offense, not the Garrett Riley offense. And now there's almost kind of like this the civil war going on between a good chunk of the Clemson fans that feel like Garrett Riley is being handcuffed to some degree and a good chunk of the Clemson fans that feel like the offensive ineffectiveness is on him. Where in that conversation are you? Are you on either side, or is this a we just got to kind of see what happens situation for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question just because, two straight weeks at UNC and Boston College, the offense executed. Now, obviously, those are not very good defenses, so you have to take that into consideration. But then also now you come back home and you don't have your number one quarterback. I mean, so that is a factor that you have to weigh there in terms of it's not like you had the easiest situation in the world. And, I mean, there were situations where Bazina did pretty good things. It just obviously happened way too late. And, can you put on Garrett Riley if the offensive line is not executing the way it should, not opening up the holes the way you want? Can you put it on Garrett Riley that they have a running back who, again, Randall's been really good this year for the most part, but it's just not completely developed as a running back. I mean, you look at the third and one, that they didn't get early in the game. Also Pat Henry has a block. He just has to cut inside of it. You get 3 yards, pick up the first down. He goes outside the block and gets tackled for no gain. And so, I mean, there's just flaws as far as the roster construction. There's flaws right now in terms of injuries. Again, Klubnik, Tristan Lee's out. You have a freshman left tackle who I don't think they really wanted him starting this year. He's going to be a great player, Braden Jacobs, but still developing. And so it's a whole mix of things. And so I don't know if I'm on the, you know, Garrett Riley is the problem bandwagon. Can he be better? Yes. But there's definitely been some situations and some things, you know, that maybe some other position coaches factor into there.
And that is another group that has been discussed at length. It's guys like C.J. Spiller. It's guys like Boulware, guys that maybe don't have a lot of coaching experience or any coaching experience in some cases. And, you know, I saw somebody on one of the message boards, John, kind of drawing a direct line from spots where you've got coaches, position coaches who don't have a lot of experience to positions that are the most ineffective, whether it's driven by data or just eye test or whatever. Do we think that there is a future for Dabo Swinney where he starts to build a different coaching staff with a more traditional, we're a big program, so let's get guys with experience? Or do we think that it's going to be, hey, this is rough, but let's stay the course and do what we do still? Because the criticism is obviously growing louder, and I think it's justified at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's moving in that direction for the last few years. I mean, again, you get a Matt Luke on the offensive line as a former head coach. Guy had been the offensive line coach at Georgia before you pull him out of, you know, a brief temporary retirement. You know, Nick Eason was a defensive line coach from the NFL. You know, obviously a Clemson alum, but has some experience. Tom Allen's an experienced former head coach, defensive coordinator. I mean, Garrett Riley was the hot name at the time. So, I mean, I think that he's shown that in situations where it's not working out, or he gave a guy a chance and it's not really panning out, that he will make a change. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be overly specific and, you know, call guys out and say who should be, you know, let go or replaced or whatever. But I'm sure if there are guys that, you know, aren't recruiting to the level you need, maybe, or aren't really getting the most out of guys, I mean, you would hope that he would have the objectivity to be able to make a move there. And it seems like he has, again, in terms of some of those coordinator hires that they switched on, and certain, you know, other position groups that we've seen guys replaced and experienced people brought in. So yeah, I mean, I don't think he's averse to that. I mean, I do think that there's fair criticism there in terms of some of the chances he's given guys, and it really hasn't panned out. But at the end of the day, you know, he has shown a willingness to change and to get more experienced guys in those spots.
John Blau covers the Clemson Tigers for The Post and Courier. Kind enough to join us every Monday at 8:40 to catch up on what's happening with the Tigers. Before we let you go, John Blau, obviously that loss kind of nail in the coffin on the season as far as anything. Obviously, bowl eligibility still on the line, but you will need 3 wins between Darian Mensah and Florida State, or and Duke. Florida State, who obviously losing to Stanford was embarrassing, bad team, but a Louisville team that just beat Miami, the Furman Paladins, and on the road at South Carolina, which, you know, kind of that rivalry that doesn't matter who's good, who's bad, it's always going to be a game. Are there 3 wins out there? Is this a year where Clemson could be going into the Palmetto Bowl instead of saying we're playing for a playoff spot, we're just playing for a bowl game in general? Is that a world we live in right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, I think the Furman game is a guaranteed win, so you get the 4. You know, they've lost 5 in a row to power conference opponents at home. I can't imagine that streak gets to 6. I mean, maybe it does. I mean, it'd be crazy if it does. And so I think that if Kate Klubnik is back, they'd probably beat Duke. That's my guess, but we'll see. So that's 5. And then, yeah, you got to beat, you know, Florida State. Will Florida State have Mike Norvell as their head coach by the time you play them? And that's going to be an interesting situation. So between that and South Carolina, maybe they're 6. But, yeah, I mean, I think you're looking at probably 6-6 at this point. I mean, I think you'd be really optimistic and generous to think they're going to run the table and go 8-4. It could happen. But, yeah, I mean, I think you're really going to be kind of getting real close, cutting it close in terms of trying to get those 6 wins and get a bowl game for sure.
John Blau covers the Clemson Tigers for The Post and Courier. My man, appreciate it, buddy. I'm sure that The back half of this season is going to be very interesting for you, John Blau. So I look forward to catching up again next week and seeing what the hell happens next.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thanks,
Ron. You got it. John Blau, Post and Courier. Find him on X at John, J-O-N, Blau, B-L-A-U, for all your Clemson news and information needs. We have got to run to a break. When we come back, we'll get a little more college football and got to talk NFL, got to talk MLB, got to talk NASCAR. We're going to get to all that in the final hour of the show. If you're calling, hang on. Lonzo's going to answer the phone after he does this sports flash.
Yeah, bad timing. The APT, the AP top 25 dropped yesterday with the Ohio State Buckeyes remaining on top. Indiana jumps to number 2. Texas A&M is number 3 ahead of number 4 Alabama and number 5 Georgia. Oregon and Georgia Tech are 6 and 7, while Ole Miss dropped 3 spots to 8. Miami fell 7 spots to 9, and Vanderbilt jumped 7 spots into the top 10. The ALCS is headed to a game 7 after a 6-2 Toronto win over Seattle last night. Rookie Trey Yesevich went 5.2 innings and was hit 6 times, but gave up just 2 runs, ending 3 consecutive innings with double plays. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit his 6th homer of the postseason. Chase Briscoe has secured his spot in the NASCAR playoff Final Four with an overtime victory at Talladega yesterday. His first at a super speedway. Briscoe joins Denny Hamlin as the first 2 drivers to claim a Final Four spot.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
Well, call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.